ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Fish Fries, sponsored by Avnet. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, here to serve you up a whole bounty of EE goodies this week. So grab that lunch tray, don't forget your fork and a napkin or two. We're getting messy. Breaking Project Ara update is on the menu today. We're also throwing in a little Mems news, you know, to mix things up. And then it's on to a little static timing for dessert. So, really, what more could you want? Okay, don't answer that. All right, I can't wait any longer. The Google Ara development boards are here. Yes! Okay. Getting a little ahead of myself here. Just in case you haven't heard of Google's awesome new open source modular smartphone project, press pause, open a browser, or break out ye old Google. Keyword, Project Ara. Heck, I've made it even easier than all of that. There are several links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page about Project Ara, including a Fish Fry interview with one of the Ara project engineers, named Ara, a featured article by Kevin Morris, and even a dedicated episode of our new On the Scene video series. Can you tell that I think this stuff is seriously cool? I bet you can't. I mean, the modules lock into place using these electro-permanent magnets? It is so... Okay, anyway, Project Ara has been in the mythical land of prototypes, PowerPoint, and conjecture until recently. And now you can apply to get your own Project Ara development boards. Oh, yes. Okay, there are three different dev boards available. An application processor board with a Strawman TI OMAP 4460 AP and modified Linaro Android. Okay, number two, a UniPro switchboard, which shows the network switching functionality of the Ara endoskeleton. Okay, number three, a general purpose endpoint board. This is your secret sauce board that supports the tunneling of legacy DSi, I2C, I2S, SDIO, and GPIO protocols over UniPro. All right. So, here's the deal. If you want to start developing your own Project Ara smartphone with one of these first-ever dev boards, you have to apply. Basically, tell them what ultra-fantastic design you're going to create and agree to their terms of use, of course. And you have to do this all before, well, yesterday, it seems. Jeez, guys, I wish you would tell me these things a little sooner. Okay, there will be a second round of applications due August 17th, 2014. And word on the street is, Google is also making a new set of development boards based on their MDK 2.0 platform, which uses ASICs instead of FPGAs. Okay, which will be released after the second Project Ara DevCon in November of this year. Which I will be attending, even if I have to scale the walls and hover over the conference in some kind of reporter Spider-Man business. Although I'm guessing that won't be necessary. And now our second course, Mems. I love me some Mems. Let's introduce M-Cube to Fish Fry. M-Cube is in the Internet of Moving Things business, and my guest this week is M-Cube's CEO, Ben Lee. Welcome, Ben, to Fish Fry, everyone. Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Ben, let's talk about IoT and sensors in particular. Now, Ben, how big do you think this market is really going to be? And what kind of exciting designs and applications do you see coming down the pike?
Yeah, IoT is definitely a very exciting market. I've seen as large as $50 billion by 2020, I think Cisco said it. The part of the IoT that M-Cube can really service is what we call the Internet of Moving Things. If you look at IoT, you know, some of it is fixed. Like, for example, thermostats and TVs, they generally don't move. But wearable electronics, smart clothing, those are the things that are moving around. So that particular market, I've heard said, is much as 50% of the $50 billion. Some say it's too early, too soon. But whether it's 10% or 50%, it's in the billions. So it's a big market for us. In terms of applications, you have your traditional cell phones and tablet that's going to be there. But we're seeing a lot of designs, creative designs, in the area of smart clothing, smart socks, baby sensors. There are other applications that are not necessarily related to us humans, robots and vacuum cleaners. Other non-human type of things that people don't generally think of are, for example, farm animal tracking. Cows will be wearing a MEMS sensor on their tags. The sensor will, for example, track their grazing patterns, how much exercise and activity they're getting, herd behavior, which allows, for example, farmers to monitor the health and safety of the herd. So those are just some of the examples that I'm seeing.
So now, how does M-Cube fit into this IoT ecosystem?
The reason we can add a lot of value is because moving things, as you know, have very specific needs different than fixed things. They tend to be very small, therefore have very small PCBs, so size is important. The smallest you can get the sensor, the better. They typically run on batteries, so you want to have very low power to make the battery last longer. And they're typically intended for high volumes, consumer type of volumes, so cost effectiveness is key. The way we've been able to solve this problem is we thought outside of the box and we challenged traditional paradigms and come up with a brand new way of building MEMS sensors. Traditionally, MEMS and ASICs are different processes, are typically two chips, and they're somehow bonded together in a multi-chip package, whether it's through a bonding wires or through some type of a bumping. What M-Cube has accomplished is to make it all into a single die in a single standard CMOS process, leveraging existing 8-inch fabs. So you say, well, what does that do to the ecosystem? Well, first of all, it makes MEMS production much simpler and cost-effective. Because you are doing one wafer versus two discrete wafers, MEMS and ASIC separate, we only have to do wafer testing once. So there's savings, step number one. Second, because by the time it comes out of the fab, it's already a single die. There is no need to bond it together. So, for example, in a typical accelerometer, we only have a quarter of the number of bonding wires as a traditional device. As you know, with the rising cost of precious metals, like gold bonding wires, the fewer wires, the better. So that's a huge cost-saving step. And not only the cost, but because there are fewer bonding wires, we're able to make it very small as a grain of sand.
All right, Ben. Now, if IoT designs are going to reach Cisco's projections of 50 billion devices in the next couple years, how are you going to scale to keep up with that? And what's next for M-Cube?
That's a very good question that we've been contemplating ourselves. So now that we have the technology and we've proven it in volume, as you know, in MEMS, it's easy to have a proof of concept or to have a prototype. Mm-hmm. The proof of the pudding is really volume shipment.
Sure.
We have shipped over 60 million units to date. So far, mainly to the phones and the tablet market. So we're proven as a volume manufacturer. So in addition, we have just completed a $37 million Series C funding round. So from a financing perspective, we're ready to infuse our working capital to help transition the company from in the startup world called revenue phase to our next phase, which is the growth phase. I think we're ready to add additional dollars to R&D with the new funding to allow M-Cube to continue to innovate and stay ahead of the competition. I think you can expect more new product announcements, and we'll definitely share with you the key market milestones as we achieve them.
So I've heard that you're quite a golfer. So Ben, where in the world is the best place that you've played golf?
The best place, wow. I usually go with my customers, and my customers are mostly in China. There is a place called Spring City. It's so high up that when you're golfing, you're actually looking down at the clouds. And rumor says that you can hear your balls 10 to 15 feet farther because the air is thinner. Definitely helps me with a high handicap.
I love that. I have to go there. Well, Ben, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia.
Want even more information about M-Cube? Of course you do. Then you should really check out EE Journal's own Jim Turley's recent feature about M-Cube called Let's Get Small Version 3.0. New MEMS accelerometers from M-Cube are the world's smallest. I've included a link below the player on this week's fish frying page that will take you directly there. Now, how about that dessert? And today we have static timing and constraint validation with a lovely lavender FPGA maple glaze. It's wonderful. Okay, what we actually have is a new episode of Chalk Talk called Static Timing and Constraint Validation. In this episode, I sit down with Ron Plyler of Xilinx, and we investigate new ways you can set up and validate timing constraints on your way to timing closure with Xilinx's Vivado tool suite. And we get into this huge debate about open source versus proprietary software development. Or maybe we don't. But I guess you wouldn't know for sure unless you checked it out for yourself. You can do that by clicking the link below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com or by heading on over to either our Facebook page or our YouTube page. Keyword, EE Journal. Speaking of FPGAs, did you know that X-Fest is coming up very soon? Yep, it's true. Avnet and Xilinx are excited to announce the technical program for this year's X-Fest, a global series of seminars offering practical how-to training for FPGA, DSP, SoC, and embedded system designers. Don't miss this opportunity to learn about recent innovations in technology and product development methodology from Xilinx, and to experience a deep dive with Avnet technical experts into key technology domains where Xilinx FPGA offer unique, high-impact, and cost-savings capabilities. Events start in September in North America. I'm just saying. All right, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want to register right this very instant for this year's X-Fest, you can. I've also included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page that will take you directly there. Also, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, you can also join our circle on Google+. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. Or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 18th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.